Well, welcome to your announcements. We've got just a couple things for you for this week. First up is Retirees Lunch.
Yes, February 28th, we're having the Retirees Lunch at the CPC campus.
You betcha.
And do people need to register, Kim?
Yes, if you head to our website, you can register there, or if you give our office a call, they can also hook you up.
That's right.
And secondly, summer is coming. I know it may not feel like it, but the buds are starting to come out outside, and that means summer is coming. Yeah. And we're gonna do something we haven't done in a couple summers.
A couple of summers, and a little bit different this year.
Nice.
So for those parents who are already looking to schedule their kids into camps, we will be doing camp.
Woo!
Woo! It'll be space camp, and we will be doing that August 8th through 11th. And those will be all day camps. So just keep those dates in mind, and registration will be coming in April.
Awesome. So get out your little phones with your little calendars and plug in those dates. What were they again?
August 8th through 11th, and it's an all day camp.
Perfect. We'd love to see your kids there. Anyways, I think that's all of the announcements we have for you this week. For any other informations or to know what's going on around here, head to our website, sanishbaptist.org, and you'll find everything you need to know. See you next time.
There we go. Got to turn the microphone on first. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. If you're able to, I invite you to stand with us just as we begin to worship this morning. And as we gather to worship, we want to acknowledge with gratitude that we are worshiping on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. And just reading our call to worship. So Jesus has given us a new commandment. We are commanded to love one another. Just as Christ has loved us, so we ought to have love for one another. By this, everyone will know we are Christ's disciples, by our love for one another. Come, may we join our hearts in worship and worship God by loving one another. Amen. Yeah, let's worship together. Set the captives free.
You came to set the captives free. You came to bring us liberty. My sin and my rejection met in your blood and my acceptance. Now I'm alive to bring you praise. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain is broken through you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Covered up my sin. Your grace empowers me to win. My pain, my oppression met your blood and my acceptance. And now I'm alive to bring you praise. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain is broken in you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. to dance and sing. And I'm free, and I'm free. I'm free to shout it out. I'm free, and I'm free. I'm free to dance and sing. And I'm free, and I'm free. I'm free to worship you. Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom.
Sing it out.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. And every chain is broken through you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain, and every chain is broken through you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Whoa. build, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, just for the firm foundation that your love is, that it is just the thing that we are able to just build our lives, build our hope on. God, I pray, just as we sang, Lord, that you would lead us in your love to those around us, Lord, so that, it is that love that you have shown us. It's by that love that people will see us and know that we follow you. God, you are good. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you can take a seat.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's good to have you here this morning. I just realized, Shyla, is this when we're dismissing the kids? Yeah. Yeah, just having one of those mornings, just a little bit of a foggy brain there. Kids, it's been so good to have you with us this morning, but you can head off and be with your Shyla and your team there. This morning just feels a little different for some of us here in the room. This past week, we lost one of our longtime members, and one of the gentlemen who would be at the back door regularly saying hi to you as you came. And Siva Savanthanen passed away this past Wednesday, and man, we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him. And so if you could be in prayer for Prakash and Pan as they're just in the midst of grieving and doing all that planning and all that work that goes into all of that. Yeah, if you could be in prayer for them, I know they would appreciate that. There is going to be a service here on Saturday, March 4th, 2 p.m. Sure love to have you join us in that. And I know for some of you, and just talking with you before the service and some of you during the week, man, you're tired. Something's going, like it's just kind of beating us up a little bit right now. I know Kim actually came down with COVID yesterday, and so we're a little short on things. There's just a lot going on. And so I think we should just pause. And I'm going to give you a chance just to go to God just in your own space and with some of the things that are maybe just weighing you down a little bit right now. And so I'm just going to give you a moment or two on your own, and then I'll lead us in just a moment in prayer. God, we come to you this morning as someone who we know cares about each and every one of us and what it is we're facing, what it is we're wondering about, the aches of our hearts. God, I lift Pan, Prakash, and their children and the extended family to you today. And I could just see it in the eyes of many as I was sharing just of Siva's passing, Lord, that, yeah, it's a hard one. And it brings back other memories of loved ones that we've lost. And this is a part of the rhythm of life. We recognize and understand that, but it's a hard season too, Lord. We celebrate for Siva to be with you and with Pathma, but we grieve. And God, I pray for your comfort, for your strength, for your peace of mind, for Pan and Prakash. Yeah, and God, I think of Kim just down with COVID and just others who are sick. Lord, we've just been hearing it. It's just going on right now, and it's been hard. Thankful that we've got a an extra day tomorrow, this family day. What a chance maybe just for us to catch our breath. But God, I would ask that you would, in spite of all of that, that you would meet us. That you would get beyond our maybe our brain fog a little bit. That you would get in, and God, that we as a church would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning. You've got something for us. You've got something for each one here this morning. And so we sort of surrender, submit ourselves to this concept that we sang about, that we are wanting to build our lives around you. We're wanting this church to be built on you, our sure foundation. And we entrust this church to you. Jesus, you said you will build your church. And you've been doing it for 2,000 years. So we're just going to say, keep doing it, God. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I told you a couple weeks ago, when we kicked off this series, We the Church, one of the things that's always kind of fun when you're doing a series is you do a bit of research and you're studying and you're, you know, learning things that you may or may not actually be all that familiar with. One of the things that I'm not all that familiar with is ancient Rome. I'm still probably very much a rookie and just barely, you know, getting my toes wet into the water, if you like. But I've discovered a few things about the ancient world, especially the Roman world. And it was very urban. You probably knew that. Hundreds and thousands of people would be in some of these towns. Some of them were like 400,000, some 100, some 200,000. Folks, that's a lot of people. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but they had things called apartments back then as well. You think, huh? No elevators. Nope, no elevators. No steel, you know, beams or anything like that. But they actually had apartments that could go anywhere from 3 to 8 stories high. It's pretty amazing when you actually stop and think about it. Now, the best places in those places, you know, the penthouse, if you like, was not the upper floor. That actually was not the desirable spot to be in those apartments. It was the lower floor. Floor 1 and floor 2 was sort of the ones that they would want, and they were the bigger spaces, and often extended family would live. There would be courtyard sort of expressions within their own little apartments, their own little spaces of living and all, and it was just very interesting. You know, the upper floors, very little light, very little ventilation, so super hot in the summer, freezing cold in the winter, and when you start thinking about no plumbing, we just clicked, didn't we? You think about and how they had to cook, right? They're cooking on charcoal, sort of portable barbecue style stuff, like the aroma, the ventilate. It was just so. What was interesting about that kind of living was these people lived more so in the public square. We don't do that. We build our houses. And we used to have verandas out on the front, but now we've got them in the back, and we've got our nice little fence, right? Those beautiful things that kind of compartmentalize us off from other people. But they lived in the public square. They had amazing spas and places where they go and work out and bathe and clean up. The markets were very different than what we had. Just a fascinating expression of life in that you really couldn't hide. Your life was very, very public back in the day. We'll get to that in a few minutes. We are on a discovery, maybe it's a rediscovery, of the beauty and the opportunity and the role we play in this thing called the church. As I prayed earlier, Jesus said he's going to build his church. He said it some 2,000 years ago. Church is still here. I mean, we're here, right? He's made a promise, and it's still happening, and we're going to lean into that promise. We're going to trust him for that. He's going to build a church. Nothing can, will, or has stopped the church. Nothing will. Jesus is the head of the church, right? Like, we recognize that. He is the head. He is who we worship. He is in whom we trust and whom we follow. Jesus is the hope of the world. But here's the kicker, is that the hope of Jesus is the church. Like, he kind of downloaded the opportunity and responsibility of the church to the likes of you and me. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. the kingdom, this now new kingdom that Jesus was ushering in through the church, is a in this world but not of it kind of thing. Yeah, you read the early church and some of the different places in history, and it's amazing how the church was a part of the community, but not of it. The church was for the world, but not formed by the world. It wasn't running from the world, very much engaged in the world in which they lived. For it, but not formed by it. And this kingdom finds its expression in community, the church, this diverse gathering of people. It's interesting, Clement of Alexandria, who's one of the church leaders in the second century, commented this way. He said, you know, Jesus Christ loves us. This I know for the Bible, right? I don't think he said that in the second century. Jesus Christ loves us and makes us lovable. Loves us, makes us lovable, which then in turn inspires us, has inspired the church through the 2,000 years to love others, no matter the social status, no matter the social standing, but to love all with the same love. The church, if you like, over the centuries has flattened that social structure. Oh, it's still there in society, but in the church it goes away and we become one. It's a community, the church is a community embodying the way of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit. You can't read the letters to the churches. If you read Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, like all these little letters to the churches once it got rolling, right? Paul and Peter were writing these letters and sending them. You can't read those and not see the fact that they lived in community. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 5, the whole book of Acts, you just kind of work your way through that and you see the community narrative just being there time and time and time again. You see, the church is a we, not a me. Church is a we, not a me. The head of the body of the church is Jesus, and it becomes beautiful, I should say, when we learn to follow him, when we learn to build our life on him, when we learn how to live out the way of Jesus, that sacrificial, other-oriented way of living. I want us to turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to be speaking to you sort of in two chunks today. The first little bit, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 just as a little bit of a representation of some of the things that are said in so many of these little letters. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, it says there, you, my brothers and sisters, there's that language. They weren't actually brothers and sisters. It wasn't Kent. I don't have a sister. I have a sister-in-law, Karen, right? June, Deanne. Wasn't that. Could have been that. Could be part of that. But it's more than that. Right? It's this new family, this new community that was being brought together. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Goes on into verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This little few verses here is in a little section where Paul is talking about that we have freedom in Christ in how to live and express ourselves. But he says, don't just use that freedom for yourself, actually. Use it in such a way to serve one another, to bless one another. See, the church is not a place where we are here for ourselves. It's a place where we come and learn to be here for others. That's the following of Jesus. And the kind of one another stuff, I mean, it's just barely touched on there. The expanse of what this one another means is incredible. It's powerful. It's really not something that can just happen in and of your own strength and way and will. It's something that needs to be inspired and fueled and fired up and led by the Spirit of God. This each other concept, this one another, what we're talking about here is being in relationship with one another, in community with one another. It's this idea that of being in a community in such a way that you can know someone else, but not only that, but that you can be known. To where you can serve someone, like you know people well enough that you can actually serve them. Why? Because you understand what they're going through. You know the bumps and bruises, you know, you kind of know what's going on. So you can serve them, but also so that you can be served. To be seen, but also to see, to love, but also to be loved. This kind of thing that is being talked about here is about community, one another. If you were to just Google, you know, what are the one another's of Scripture? Man, I don't know, there's just so many. They'll boil them down to 7, 9, 57, 82. I mean, it's just all over the map. And there's all of these concepts that we would learn to what? To forgive one another, to bless one another, to be there for one another when someone's going through a hard time, to challenge one another, to encourage one another. How do you do that unless you're in community? Well, you can't. You really can't. See, the church is not to be a place, a thing, a concept that's lived in isolation. We are very much Western people, and we love our independence. But the church is not to be that. We're actually called to live interdependently with each other, for each other. As I said, I do a bit of studying and was just researching a little bit and came across this interesting letter. I mentioned in the first sermon a couple weeks ago that there were these letters going back and forth between Roman governing authorities who were watching this phenomenon called the church, and they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't like it, but they didn't know what to do with it. And there's this one letter that was sent by Pliny to the Emperor Trajan. Pliny was a lawyer and was a part of their crew. And he was just saying, what is going on here? What is actually happening here? Like, this is bizarre. I don't understand. What's happening here? And Pliny responded, is that, listen, these people, they kind of function in this strange sort of community, like within the community, like they're not like extracting themselves from community, they're in it, but they sort of have their own community within the community at large. It's a very interesting thing. He says that they'll often get up early before dawn and they'll gather together and they will chant or sing a song or two, and then they will make some vows of commitment. Someone will say a few words. They'll make some vows of commitment to this thing, this person called Jesus. They're not going to do crime. They're not going to commit fraud. You know, no theft, no adultery, etc. Like, they just would make these significant statements of loyalty to whom they were building their life on. I keep pointing at the screen. That's where I read it. It said we're going to build our life, right, upon Jesus. And they would be getting up early, kind of before the day got going. Sometimes they would meet on the first day of the week, right? Hello, Sunday morning, maybe. And they would make these vows of commitment together. And then he said to the emperor, and then when it was over, they would just head off and they would get back, they'd get to work. They'd head out into the marketplace and wherever it was that they were working and doing their things and living their life and raising their kids and all that kind of stuff and just interacting with the world around them. And then he said, and then they would get together again. And they would just have a meal together and they'd welcome others in and they just, he goes, I don't get it. It's community is what it was. And this morning, you know, as we are starting to unpack what this thing, the church, looks like, I'm just wondering, what is the Spirit saying to you in relationship to the we? So I just want to, as we're becoming our practice here, I'm just going to give you some space right now. And just ask you to consider, what is the Spirit saying to you? When you hear this idea that the church is a we, not a me, who is your we? Have you structured your life in such a way that you can be known? Do you know others? The Spirit is agreeing with you that something's got to change. You look at your schedule and you go, it's just too much. Maybe there's some things that you're being nudged with about that are all good, they're all fine, but maybe they're not the best. Schedule, your routine. Is there a way that you could maybe be an includer? Is there a way that you could intentionally be more available to others? Have a space where you can be in conversation about this thing called the kingdom of God and how we're to live it, where you can be encouraged and maybe challenged, but where you're in relationship with others, where they can see and know you. You have people in your life that could almost call a brother and a sister, even though they're not your brother and sister. God, I just ask you to continue to open up our minds and our hearts to what it is you're wanting to do, how it is you're wanting to form us and to shape us. Amen.
See?
Let's maybe stand together just as we sing, my life for his glory.
My life for his glory, my life for his glory, my life for his glory, my life.
Please be seated. So, in John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35, we come across some verses that we've heard, we've quoted, and we've thought about, and we would like to think that we live out, and we probably do in some ways. Let me read it for you. John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. It says, "When he was gone," Jesus said, now the "when he was gone" bit is Judas. Okay, so Jesus has just been sitting, and he's been having a meal with his disciples, and this is where Judas and is going to betray Jesus, right? They were having communion, and Judas was gone, all right? So when he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And we know those verses. We recognize them. We're going to sing the old, you know, "You'll know me," or "They'll know we are Christians by our love." Where's Jake? There he is over there. That old song, right? We used to sing at camp. But what does it mean? But that is a significant statement that Jesus made. I mean, did Jesus make any statements that weren't significant? What a dumb thing to say. But it's a powerful statement. People are going to know that we are his disciples by our love. By our actions towards one another. In how we live out our expression of this faith. In the church. It's a new command. You saw the tie-in from Galatians, right? Love your neighbor. This new idea. Like, we're to love everybody. with a love that was inspired and demonstrated and led by Christ, that when he was sitting at a meal at a very vulnerable time in his life, he was literally sitting there with the gentleman who is going to betray him, that was going to put him to death, and he didn't call him out, and he didn't have the other disciple shame him or do any of those kinds of things. He didn't cancel him, didn't do any of that. Somehow, he sat there. And in the context of that, Jesus comes around and he says, we need to have a kind of love that shouts out to the world that we are Jesus' disciples, we're followers of him. There's this sacrificial expression of life and love that is put forward by him. Peter, a couple weeks ago when we opened up the series, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, and then later on in that book, Peter says, we need to learn how to love each other deeply. Deeply. Like fully. Goes on to say that love covers over a multitude of sins. It's not like we're just sweeping them under the rug. That's not what that means. Deeply. I mean, this love is more than just a feeling, and for you music buffs, it's a little crazy, but it's not just a little thing. And it's not quite all we need. This love has got to have expression, displayed, empowered by the Spirit. I mean, if it's going to be the kind of love that declares to a world that wants nothing to know, nothing to do with God, it's significant. Roman officials were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to do with this thing called the church, this gathering, this group of people, this movement, this people within their people. The selfless care that they had for others when people were sick and people would be running to the villages, leaving the city, running. The Christians stayed, cared for one another at the risk of their own life. When people were in need, Christians sold things. The Christians of the early church and throughout the centuries have been a people of feasts, if you like, of hospitality, of sitting around tables, and we turned them into potlucks, which, you know, actually weren't bad sometimes. But it was more than that, what was going on here. See, in this culture, there were feasts and gatherings of these big celebrations going on all the time, and the Christians couldn't participate in all of them because they had an emperor worship thing where you kind of had to, you know, pledge your allegiance to another god, and the Christians wouldn't do that, but they started opening up their homes, and they would have these things called love feasts where they would share a meal, and the outcasts and the orphans, those who didn't have a brother or a sister or had no family would be welcomed in. Significant stuff. And they became family to one another. There's no longer this social structure where there was Jew and Gentile and barbarian, Scythian and all that. No, again, the love of Christ flattened that. And we just saw each other as human and in need of community. The church, when it was expressing itself well, and when it does express itself well, is hospitable by nature. It's welcoming of others. It's not exclusive. And this is hard because we get friends and we need friends. I've been talking about friends. But when we get friends and these friends that we needed, all of a sudden we sort of form this little circle. We put our arms around each other, and then there are others kind of trying to peek in and go, I'm here. Could you let me in? I need somebody too. And so it's messy, and it's hard, They lived out this thing called the church. They lived out the indictment that the religious people were throwing at Jesus. Do you remember the term they said about Jesus? Oh, he's a drunkard. He's a friend of sinners and tax collectors. What a dirty, dastardly guy Jesus is. And I think Jesus is kind of going, right, I am. I am. And the church followed that and became influential because of it, confusing to some. Well, this love is it's counterintuitive. It's got a bit of scandal to it, really. Like, it's extraordinary. It's not easy at all. But it's the kind of love that, as Peter said, that if you're living out this kind of expression, that people might accuse you of doing wrong, but at the end of the day, they'll realize they were wrong. They will see your life, and they'll recognize that there's something different there. And Peter says that they'll then give praise to our God, our Father in heaven. This is what's being talked about here. This idea of a church, a community of people with one another, loving in such a significant way, welcoming others in such a significant way that it just shouts and screams to the world, come, we have room for you. The hurting, the struggling, those who think they've got it all figured out, you're welcome here. The enemy. And this is the kind of love, when experienced by us and expressed in community, has an allure to it that's difficult to find in the world around us. It's a coming together. The many into these little things. They actually called them, a lot of times in the early church, they called them house churches because they'd be gathering in their house and they would gather in the temple courts. They talked about it, gather out in the public spaces. It just continued to gather together. They lived out their faith in front of the world around them. They welcomed the others, if you like. They welcomed the outcasts. They welcomed and invited those who were different. Listen, this church was not perfect. That is one thing you actually discover as you're reading. Well, it's not perfect. We sometimes romanticize it. It had its flaws. It had its problems, just like we do. And yet, God started something in the midst of those people that has not been stopped. And we're a part of it. I'd like us to stand together. And in this series, we are just trying to unwrap, if you like, just open ourselves up to this idea that maybe there's some new things, some new ways we need to be expressing ourselves as a people, as individuals, as the we, the coming together. And we're just asking, I'm asking, where's the leadership? Some of you I know are asking, God, what do you have for us? What does this look like? You know, as we think about our new senior leaders, we think about all these things. We're like, God, what do you have for us? And I hope you'll join us in that. It seems like you are. You're here again. Well done. It's cool. Yeah. This is just a corporate prayer. It's taken from a number of pieces of scripture. And I'll just... we could throw that up there on the screen. I'll just start, and then you can join together as we declare this. We are called to bring a new understanding of God that God so loves the world, we are the salt of the earth. We are called to bring a new hope in God, that God gives us new life. We are the light of the world. We are called to follow the commandments and the law. The law of God is to love God and to love one another. Come, let us be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Come, let us love one another with the love of God. Let us join together in our love of God to worship and follow Jesus. God, we come to you. We've said these words. We've heard these things. We've sung them. And that's the easy part, I guess, really, isn't it, Lord? And so as we get ready to head from here and get into the next part of our schedule and the week, Lord, Spirit of God, I know you're going to continue to be with us. Would you continue to prompt us and cause us to consider what are the things that we need to be leaning into? Do I have a community? Do I have a we beyond this room? Do I have those who actually know me that I can be known by, that I can know others, that I can bless and serve and live out this incredible thing called the church? So God, we're asking, what is this new thing you're wanting to do for us as a group, as a church, for us as individuals? What is this, God? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as we close with this song, we'll invite the ushers to come forward just as we continue our worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. And Lindsay mentioned this song earlier. We're going to sing it together now. Sing, "We Are One."
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity will one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And then, Lord, we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, and Lord, we are Christians by our love. And then, Lord, Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, and Lord, we are Christians by our love.
Amen. So if you are new and would like to know about the different ways that you can get involved, there is a connect card on the seat back in front of you. If you're watching online, you can email us at office@sanishbaptist.org. Either way, we can be in touch. And if you would like someone to pray for you, we do have people who will be at the front who would love to pray with you. If you're watching online, you can visit our website and click on prayer resources in the resources section. Or you could fill out, or you can submit your prayer request to office@sanishbaptist.org. And thank you again, as always, for your ongoing support of the ministry of SBC. For those in person, there is still an offering plate at the back where you can drop it off. And for all of us, you can also give through sanishbaptist.org. And let's close just with this benediction from Romans 15. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.